Hetty Green was known as America's greatest miser. And she died in 1916 and left an estate over $100 million. Yet they say that she ate oatmeal cold because it cost too much to heat. Her son's leg was amputated because she delayed too long looking for a free clinic. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? For someone who had such great assets to go through life miserable, living a life of a pauper when great wealth was at her disposal. But the same could be said of many Christians today. For in Christ Jesus, we have countless spiritual blessings. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what the title of the message is today, is blessings. But you know, many of these blessings go unused. Blessings that are wonderful, but appreciated by many, resulting in unappreciated by many, resulting in some Christians living what some would call lives of quiet desperation. And that happens so often. And God wants us to know about these blessings or our spiritual riches. And in the New Testament, one book in particular describes many of them. It's the book of Ephesians, where we're going to be at today. And one express purpose of this book is that we might know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints are. So that we don't become spiritual equivalent of Hetty Green. We get all these blessings and we can do all these great things, but yet we don't use them. We don't put our blessings to work because our blessings are for others. Amen. And today we begin a devoted series to the epistle to the Ephesians. And we're going to mine for the riches through this that are ours in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to be in Ephesians 1 through 3. And I'll be doing this out of the New King James today. And the verses are verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, not present, not future, has blessed us. Our blessings are already there, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So let's start out. So Paul wrote this. He says, I'm Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So this is a calling on Paul's life to be an apostle. To be an apostle is a gift. It's a gift, just like any other gift that God bestows on us. And Paul addresses the believers in Ephesus, and he begins immediately to speak of our spiritual blessings. Amen? But let's look who Paul is, who the Apostle Paul is. I like to think of him as the 13th apostle. But many say he's the 14th. Because after Judas died, there was Matthias that the apostles picked. But who picked Paul? Jesus on the road to Damascus. So, and Paul formerly Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church. And in Acts 9, 1 and 2, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So he had papers saying that he could go persecute and kill the people of the way. What's the way? We've heard of the way for years. There was even a Bible, the way, right? So the way is early followers of Christ. And they refer to themselves as followers of the way because of Jesus' statement in John 14, 6, that he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Luke says that Aquila and Priscilla explained to Apollos the way of God. More fully, that's in Acts 18:26. But Peter refers to Christianity as the way of truth. And we all follow what? The way. We follow Jesus Christ. Without following Jesus Christ, we'll never have the spiritual blessings. We could never be blessed the way that we are. And the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus' broken body is the new and living way for us to enter the most holy place. It is only by Jesus that we can ever be in heaven or be with God. He's the only way. And after the conversion of Paul, he became the apostle to the Gentiles. See, Ephesus was full of both Jews and Gentiles. But Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Who's Gentiles? Us. Us. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Sort of like if you're not Catholic, you're Protestant. Right? The Protestant have a whole bunch of denominations under that title. So in Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. This is important because we see that while Paul was spewing out murderous threats, God still had a plan for him. Right? And we need to be encouraged by that because it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at, what you look like, what you've done. God can save you. God loves you. And God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us.
Amen.
And we see Paul, who called himself the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. Right? Any one of us are a chief of sinners. We are. But he was a chosen instrument, just as we can be. And God can use anyone for his purpose. Anyone. And he says he is an apostle of Jesus by the will of God. His apostleship was not of his own choosing. He knew it was by the grace of God that he had been called. And we'll see that further on in Ephesians. But we all have a different calling on our lives. Every one of us, right? There's no difference between me and any of you. I got called to deliver the word of God, right? As a pastor, right? You got called to do what you guys do, right? That's a calling, and we need to use those callings and what God has put us in for His glory. Amen. We need to do that, even if. When we retire, we can still use that platform to share the word of God. That's what we need to do. Everybody has a calling, even if it's prayer. Prayer is a huge calling to be an intercessory prayer warrior. We need more. We need more prayer.
Amen.
We need more prayer. Big time. But Paul was called to be an apostle, to be an ambassador, to be an ambassador of Christ. And he wasn't prideful when he said this. But what was Paul's charge? To preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What are we supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to share that with people, right? Every chance we get. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to love one another as our neighbors, as ourselves. We have to love everybody. But Paul's work brought him to Ephesus. But first it was just for a short stay. Right? Just for a short stay. Then God kept him there for over 2 years. And that was one of his longer periods of service in one place. See, God will move us. But we have to be content before He does. He will not move us. He will not bless us unless we become content with which He has given us. Paul says, I had to learn to be content. Right? When When I first started in actual ministry, I was ministering in a care home. And then one day, they called me pastor. And I was so thankful because I knew that was from God. And I thank you, God, for this church that you have given me. They're still part of our church. And I was content. I was thrilled to have those 8, 10, 15, 1, 2 people come to church, come to Bible studies. And I was great with that. And then God moved me. Right? And moved us again. So we have to learn to be okay with what God has given us. We have to be. To be able to continue being blessed. And we see that God kept him there for over 2 years. And he also met with the Ephesian elders when he was there. But as he's writing this, he's writing it now in Ephesians 6:20. He says he's an ambassador of chains. And at the time Paul wrote this epistle, he was awaiting trial in Rome. He had a lot of time because this epistle was written about the same time as Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. Around 60 to 62 AD. And this was around 30 years after Jesus ascended. And most of this is all in the book of Acts. But let's look who the Ephesians are. Who are the Ephesians? The recipient of this letter were called saints. They were called saints. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. They were believers. This epistle was written to believers for encouragement. For encouragement. And the faithful in Christ Jesus, that's the letter was written to the saints, but the character of those saints are faithful in Christ. Is that your character? Is our character being faithful in Christ? How do we act? What do we do? Right? None of us are perfect. We still do things that we shouldn't do. Amen? But our character has to be that in Christ. We are supposed to be more Christ-like. And that's what he's saying. That's our character. They are faithful in Christ Jesus, and they trusted him for their salvation, just like we did. We trusted him when we came to him to ask to be saved, right? Save me, Jesus. We trusted him then, but we don't trust him so much now as time goes on because we get caught up on all the other stuff. But they trusted him for their salvation, and that's what we have done. So I think it would be okay to say this letter is written for us also, right? Because we are saints and we are faithful to Christ. So this is to us also. And they were faithful in another sense, so also that they were trustworthy in their stand for the truth. In Revelations 2, 1 through 3, let me go there. Revelation 2, 1 through 3 is the loveless church. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, right. The angel of the church is the pastor. The angel of the church of Ephesus, right. These things I say, he who holds 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are in evil. Sounds like us, right? And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. This is Jesus talking to the church of Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. It says, remember therefore where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. They have left their first love. I believe this is the church today. As a whole, as the body of Christ. Some are faithful. Some have let their first love for what they think are bigger and better things. The world. So many leave the church for bigger and better things. They put one foot into the world and they want to keep one foot in the church. Can't be like that. It can't be like that. But he's writing to these faithful saints. And Paul gives his customary greeting in which he prays for grace and peace to come upon them from God and Jesus. Grace and peace are extended. God wants all believers to live in his grace and peace. That's us. He wants us to live in that grace and peace. In all the authority, power and position in Christ only comes by grace, not by works. We have power, we have authority as believers, but it only comes in Christ. And that's what Paul's saying. That's what Paul's saying. It only comes through Christ and not works. There's nothing we can do to gain that authority. And with the very next verse, Paul begins to praise God for the blessings we have in Christ, which he reveals to us. And that's verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We need faith for this. We need faith. And we need to bless God. Has any of you ever blessed God? It's okay. Bless. To God, we can bless God. God, I bless you today. Amen. Amen. So this is the source of our blessings or our spiritual riches. Who has blessed us? Who has he blessed? Us, the believers. And this, like I said, this doesn't say that we will be blessed. We are blessed. How many know out there that you're blessed? Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. We're blessed. We're blessed. And it doesn't matter sitting here. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter how much money you make. Although those are all blessings. But we're blessed because he has saved us. It's all those little blessings that we miss. Right? Each and every one of us in here are blessed. Are blessed. He woke you up this morning. That's a blessing. Amen. Have a roof over our head. Amen. It's a blessing. We've got food to eat. Amen. How many people don't? But yet, sometimes they feel blessed, more blessed than we do. Right? Those that have little are more blessed. Feel more blessed. But these come from God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see this later, that they come as a result of riches, of God's grace. Of God's grace. And that's getting something that we don't deserve. And it comes from his glory and from his mercy. And that's not getting something that we do deserve. His mercy. As James wrote, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. What's the scope of our blessings, though, and our spiritual riches? They include every spiritual blessing, not just a few. but every single one that we could ever imagine, we're blessed with. We're blessed with. And blessings that are spiritual in nature, right? That are spiritual. There's blessings we can't even see yet that we've been blessed with. And the sphere of our blessings, well, first, they're in heavenly places, right? There's three heavens. The blessings are there in the heavenly places. But what do we have to do? We have to receive them. We have to receive them. God wants to give us all these blessings that He's blessed us with, but we have to receive them. We have to open up our hearts and receive them. And oftentimes we miss out on these blessings because we don't receive them. We're too caught up in looking at everything else. God, I open my heart to you for your blessings. And we receive them by faith. We know that God has them for us by faith. And He wants to give them to us. Amen. He wants to give us these blessings. Heavenlies, it's only in Ephesians. And it's throughout Ephesians. And it's referring to the spiritual realm as opposed to the physical. Yes, we can see the physical blessing that God gives us. Right? We can see those. Right? It's the ones that we can't see, that we miss, that we need to be open to. Right, to receive them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And secondly, they are in Christ. And it has to be counted that the phrase in Christ occurs 27 times in Ephesians. In Christ. We have to be in Christ to receive these blessings. If you're saved, you're in Christ. Amen? We're in Christ. So that means what? We can receive them. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. We just have to open up our hearts for it. We have to open up our hearts. And it's by Christ that we can only have access to every spiritual blessing that we are blessed with. With verse 3, then, we have the theme of the epistle stated. We can think of it as the key verse of Ephesians. The sphere in which these blessings or riches are to be found is in Christ. And how does one get into Christ? And the answer to that is found in Galatians 26, 27. And I think I talked about that last week, where we learn we have to be baptized into Christ. We have to put on Christ, right? And when we get saved, we put on Christ. But each and every day, what do we have to do? God bless you. What do we have to do? We've got to put on Christ. You put Christ on like a coat, right? But sometimes we get caught up in doing dumb things that we are hanging up for a while, right? And that's where that closes that door on those spiritual blessings that we receive. So it's important to, we know that we are blessed. And you're probably sitting there thinking, well, what kind of blessings? Right? Tell me about some blessings. We're going to do that next week. We're going to talk about the blessings. You okay with me?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about those blessings. And just how blessed we are. Each and every day, each and every breath that we take is a blessing from God.
Amen.
So I ask now that if you are in need of prayer, to come on down. We're just so thankful to you. Be back safe on the crazy highway, right? Going was a little bit worse than coming back. Was on a was on a Saturday, so that was a little bit better. But bow our heads and close in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time together, Lord, and we do thank you for the blessings. And we talk about this so much, Lord, and we just want you to know that we do appreciate you, Lord, and who you are, and the blessings that you bestowed upon us before our conception. Lord, that while we were still in the womb, Lord, you had a plan, Lord, and you knew exactly how you would implement that plan. Lord, we thank you. Let us be aware of you at all times, Lord. Let us look to you for our strength, Lord. Let us look to you for our encouragement, Lord. Let us look to you to guide our paths that you walk before us. Lord, we thank you and we give you all the praise and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you, as Pastor Juan said yesterday, shalom.
Amen.
Peace.
Peace.
Go with God.